Mark Megan's Weekly Roast. Proudly supported by Cialis for Men. Struggling with erectile dysfunction? It's nothing to be ashamed of. Cialis for Men 10mg film-coated tablets, which contains tadalafil, is now available without prescription. Just a quick, discreet chat with your pharmacist, in person or online, can help. Find it at pharmacies nationwide or visit www.cialisformen.ie for more details. To be taken at least 30 minutes prior to anticipated sexual activity. Always read the label. Go loud.
The Weekly Roast. How's it going, guys? How the hell are you? How are your hearts? And of course, how are your heads? Guys, Mark Megan's Weekly Roast is proudly brought to you by Cialis for Men. And the beauty of Cialis for Men is that you have 36 hours to make your move, so you can decide when the time is right. Eliminate the scoreboard and rise to the occasion whenever the mood strikes. Now let's get stuck in. To the roast, that is, then. Cialis for Men contains tadalafil. To be taken at least 30 minutes prior to anticipated sexual activity, always read the label. Speaking of sexual activity, welcome back to the Roast of A&E Stories. Good God, I'm traumatised, my friends. How are you doing? How are you? I hope you enjoyed my Instagram roast yesterday. If you are new to the show, you're very welcome, okay? Mark Megan's Weekly Roast. Let me just give you a little breakdown of how it works. My name is Mark Megan, right? On Instagram, at Megan Mark, every week I put up a question box of a new subject, aspect, issue, element, subculture of modern Irish existence. And we all join forces and roast it together. I then take your contributions, okay? The best contributions from the roast get thrown in here, and we distort your voices to preserve your anonymity so you can speak as freely as you so wish. And that's the Weekly Roast. We like to say it's Ireland's confession box, and you are genuinely really welcome. We've had so many more listeners in the last few weeks, and the show seems to be growing at a very quick rate. So I just want to say genuinely, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Thank you to everybody for taking the time to listen, and thank you for sharing it. If you want to support the show, share it with a friend. It is the greatest way for us to grow. And before we continue, I do want to dangle a little carrot. And this will be the only time I do it, okay? But stay tuned. For the next fortnight, there's going to be some news dropping, okay? That's all I'm going to say. There is going to be some significant, in the next 14 days, there will be the most significant news announcement I have made to date on the show. Some of your prayers will be answered, is all I'm saying. Nevertheless, I'm also joined here by the temporary, until he makes me laugh out loud live on the show, sidekick slash assistant production extraordinaire, Mystery Mick. Hello, Mick.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Are you going to make me laugh today?
I feel I got a few laughs last week.
You didn't. You get like vague sort of sympathetic chuckles just because you're a very wholesome character and I haven't quite figured out how to treat you on air yet.
Brilliant.
Good stuff. Nevertheless, welcome back to the Roast of A&E. This is not the one for the faint of heart, mind, spirit, soul or otherwise, okay? My friends, unfortunately, this is a sort of devolution on the comedy front. This is more of a fall from grace than J.K. Rowling on Twitter after three glasses of Valpolicella. Do you know what I mean? So, come on, J.K. Like, surely with all that wizard loot, you can do better. Do you know what I mean?
Just retire. Just go away.
Was that supposed to make me laugh, Michael? Or...
Oh,
no, you can't. You just can't. No. Nevertheless, welcome back to the Weekly Roast with the two boys you love the most.
Hi, Mark. So my mother, who was 75 at the time, was in A&E for hours waiting for test results. My mum is obsessed with food, loves her dinner, loves her food. And she was absolutely starving because she couldn't access any food because she was in A&E and the vending machines were empty and there was nothing there for her. And she saw an old man who was being treated on a trolley, and he was being served food by a nurse. So he fell asleep and she proceeded to steal the scraps off his plate and wolf them down. And when I was talking to her on the phone, she was still in the A&E and she was telling me this. She was so starving, she stole the man's food. And I said, "Mom, why didn't you just ring one of us? We would have come up with a sandwich or something for you." She said, "I was fine after I ate his sandwich, as if it was normal." I don't know. It still makes me laugh when I think of it.
Yeah, you're missing the point there, Nana, with the... She's a Nana, I don't know. But, you know, you're missing the point with the "I was fine once I had a sandwich."
You've committed a crime at that stage.
You're a felon. You're a soon-to-be-convicted felon, Nana. Scurrying around the hospital floor like Dobby the sandwich elf. Eating scraps off people's trays, slurping out of bedpans. Do you know what I mean? What the hell is going on here?
It would be the last thing I would do. I'd get a Deliveroo before I'd take someone else's food.
She's assertive enough to know that what a vending machine is.
Yeah.
Okay? She's like of strong mind to ascertain that they've stopped the evening service of grub. So like she doesn't need to pilfer sandwich crusts off the bust of a decaying pensioner. Do you know what I mean? Let the man have his... No, it's hilarious. It is... It's all... But I mean, now, in her defence, like, we've all been in the airplane wherever. It's usually like a middle-aged Asian man, I feel.
Is it?
When somebody's sitting beside you on a plane and they don't finish the nice part of their meal.
Okay, I'm with you now.
And you're like, give me that.
Yeah.
Like the juice in the little thing. You know the way the juice in the plane, then you have to tear back the tinfoil. Yeah. More acidic than swallowing a literal Roman candle. But by God, it's delicious. Let's go.
So a fella came in to A&E. He couldn't walk. He was paralysed. Hoarder, really smelly. Three girlfriends on the go. They didn't know it about each other. He had a cock ring on.
Ah.
We couldn't get it off.
Good.
His willy went necrotic.
Ah.
And all the skin died.
Yeah.
And he had to have his willy chopped off.
Had to have his willy chopped off. But of course, I don't have a doctor's thesaurus to hand, okay? But I'm almost certain that chop the willy off isn't in line with modern medical lexicon. Do you know what I mean? Oh, what code is that? On the, you know, the doctors speaking into their walkie-talkie, like, you know, we've got a code blue. We've got to chop the willy off. We have to go. This is completely insane. Okay, paralyzed guy arrives to the hospital. She doesn't make it clear as to whether or not he was paralyzed prior or he was paralyzed due to this sort of septic penis jewelry. Okay, so he arrives to the hospital with the cock ring. She then says, "Hoarder." So he was smelly. How does she have time to go through his house? Like, what is he wearing? Four, like, Irish football jerseys from the 1994 World Cup. Do you know what I mean? With Paul McGrath's autograph on the bus. Like, what the hell? How do you know he's a hoarder? Unless the ring is from, I don't know, the 50s. Like, so they've got three girlfriends. Just the three girlfriends who happen to arrive maybe with him. Like some sort of harem of cock ring pullers. Like, you know. So they're all with him on his side. He comes in and presents with this sort of decaying cylinder, like cock rings. Look, let's just be completely honest. I don't want to shame anybody in any capacity, but when it comes to cock rings, I feel you have to think about the willy in this scenario. It's not fair on the willy. It's like parents making their kids, be entertaining on Instagram. It's too much pressure all the time. Like, what's that willy on a Tuesday morning on the Navan Road in the back of the bus? Smushed into a pair of H&M chinos. Do you know what I mean? Just withered and coy and meek after a weekend with just this ring. He shouldn't still have to have... Give the willy a time to just be a willy. Just be a normal softy willy. Do you know what I mean? Free. The ring is just... As I say, it's like the Billy Barry. It's the Willy Barry. It's too much. It's too much pressure on the penis. Cock rings. There's also just something... There's just something aggressive about cock rings.
They're very... I can't imagine going into a shop and buying one and being comfortable with the idea of being known to wear a cock ring.
Yeah, but it's not like in Tesco Express. Do you know what I mean? It's not like, oh, up by the vape section. Well, actually, that's probably where you would put them.
Exactly right.
Anyway, yeah, okay. So this guy comes up, Decayed Willie. That's quite a radical quick, you know.
What was it on in order for the skin to decay?
Well, he's a hoarder, so he's probably born with it. Maybe it's Maybelline. Maybe it's Vaseline. Maybe he's born with it. Willie's been chopped off. Yeah, so good stuff. Each girlfriend gone. Good luck. This is insane. Just so no. Good luck.
Well, Mark, I was in A&E a couple of years ago for myself. And this guy comes in full hurling gear. Yeah, shorts, jersey, boots. I think he even had a hurl in his hand. Covered in blood. But very calm about the whole thing. Comes in and sits down. And then waiting on triage. And then probably about half an hour later, this guy comes running in, also in hurling gear, with a bag in his hand, and he's shouting, "I found it, I found it." And yeah, the plastic bag had your other man's finger in it. Yeah, a lot of gasps and shocks from everybody in the triage area. That he was quickly rushed in, I assume, to get the finger reattached, but never heard what happened.
Let's be honest, he didn't arrive in with the hurl in his hand.
No.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
No, it's not an episode of the Beano. Do you know what I mean?
Well, actually, though, of all sports and sports people, he probably did have a hurl, because you can't detach a hurler from a hurley.
This is true.
It's just an extension of
day one of Irish guy moves to New York. Oh. The top in Times Square at the hurl. Oh, brilliant. These Irish lads had a puck about brilliant. Cool. Keep them there. I hope they don't get deported. In fact, I hope Trump absolves them. Even though they live in Bushwick in a cupboard and they have to leap over the back fence every time there's a knock on the front door and they're married to the 68-year-old widower who lives next door because they gave her 10 G's. Keep them. And they can keep their fucking, by the way, Irish dancing on top of a crusty pub in Brooklyn as well. Oh, well, we all just do Bewitched. Good luck. Bewitched should be getting royalties for the wankers dancing on top of tables. They'd be rich. They'd be bereached. Brilliant. Nevertheless, the hurl in the sand. The hurl in the sand isn't as bad, though. Somebody wrote into us when we did the roast of bosses. Mm. And he was like, it was a Southside Dublin guy. And he was like, I casually mentioned to my boss that I sort of liked rugby. And ever since, every time he passes me in the hallway, he sidesteps me. And goes like, O'Gara, Flipsuit, Horgan, Shagger. Do you know what I mean? O'Driscoll, Umbatsu. Whatever. Do you know what I mean? Speaking of sports, yeah. I remember watching my brother play a rugby match down in Limerick many moons ago. Was it Munchkins? Munchkins? I'm definitely saying it wrong, and there's probably Cork as well.
Yeah.
Well, you thought McCroom was in Cork, so good luck.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you thought it was in Kerry.
Thanks, yeah.
Anyway, some lad.
All back to brilliant.
Just basically, you're the punching bag there. Yeah. Some lad broke his thigh bone.
Oh.
It was the sort, massive guy. Horrific. So glad the hurl found his finger. Let's go.
Hi, Mark. How's it going? Absolutely love the pod. It is my favourite thing on a Wednesday. I look forward to it every week. So, a man I know probably back in the 90s was on a fair drinking session across a few Midlands villages. And he arrived into one of the pubs around midday. And strolled on down to the toilet and went to the urinals, and the bar staff heard a scream, went in to see there was a lot of blood, and he had fully zipped up his jeans, and his Roger was stuck, so he had to be brought into A&E to get it removed. And we didn't see him for a while after that.
This is the stuff of nightmares.
How does it happen, though?
Well, you need a foreskin to start, so.
Oh, thank you, doctor.
I'm delighted.
Oh, thank you. What's it called? What are those lads called? Oh, Rabbi Mick. Oh, Rabbi Mick is here to educate us about his rabbi dick. Nevertheless, go on anyway about the foreskins.
No, I just...
So yeah, you have a foreskin, Grant, continue.
No, I don't.
This is medical.
That's what I'm saying.
What?
I don't have a foreskin.
Okay, so you don't have a foreskin.
You have a foreskin.
Yeah, I do.
Do you?
Yeah.
Very European of you.
Very continental.
Oh, look,
do you not see it hanging out my... That wasn't a real laugh. Nevertheless. No, but, okay, well, this is just absurd. It reminds me of, I remember my 18th birthday, okay? I invited loads of the older, cooler guys who subsequently turned out to be wankers back then and still are now, so it's of no surprise. But this one guy who was one of the apparent cooler guys at the time, Charles, his name was, he was at my 18th birthday, okay? And the next morning, my father rang me and was like, who was that arsehole walking around with his penis in his pint? Okay? Which turned out to be this guy, Charles. So he was walking around with his willy in his pint. I was over my best mate's gaff and his mum was from the north. And I was like telling her about this story. I was like, yeah, Brenda, but, you know, this obviously happened. She goes, oh, Jesus. Acne, was it an accident? I was like, Brenda... Think about the things that would need to have to happen for that to be an accident. So think about that. You go down the stairs into the urinal. It was in the Button Factory in Temple Bar, which used to be Temple Bar Music Centre. I don't know what it is now. But, you know, you go down to the urinal, right? You take your pint out. You take your penis out. You start peeing at the urinal, okay? You finish peeing. You don't do anything. You just leave your willy out there, out in the breeze, out in the open. Do you know what I mean? And then you swing around and then you grab your pint. You still don't realise that the willy is just out there. And then you make your way back upstairs. Then you go, oh, there's my friend Kenneth. I went to Irish College with. You'll probably have a chat with him. Hiya, Ken. And then you start lowering your pint glass, ludicrously low, by the way, beneath the waist, on par with the paralysed cock ring. That's the level off the ground that we're talking about. And you start holding the pint there, and then, oh, just your penis just gets dipped into it like it's a churro getting dipped into chocolate sauce at a holiday buffet. Do you know what I mean? And then you're just there, oh, yeah, oh. Jesus, that's mad. There's my willy in my pint. Do you know what I mean? Swirling around. This is, as you might say, my boy, the Ronge Mall levels of completely absurd. His name was Mystery Mick. Let's go.
Hi, Mark. Love the pod. Yeah, so our mother was in the midst of having a major heart attack and she decides to scurry around the house, picking up her pajamas, toothbrush and all that, and she wants to bring with her, and pops them in a brown Thomas bag and like goes to walk out the front door. Oh, the laughs me and my sister had, like, and she just seen nothing wrong with it, just pure notions, even in the maddest time of her life, like, notions.
Amazing. Thoughts? That is commitment to the bit. That is up there with me with the glove gag. Do you know what I mean? That is somebody who is so determined to maintain the airs and graces that she's got the shooting pains up and down her left arm. You know, her jaw is gone stiff. She's going, need that fucking BTs back. If I'm having a banger here and I'm going out tonight, I'm going out looking wealthy. That is the game. Like, let's be honest. There's a fire in your house, okay?
Yeah.
Your beautiful fiance.
Mm-hmm.
Sleep outside in the shed, okay? No, that's ridiculous. She stopped that, hasn't she?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, but what would, the fire in your house.
Yeah.
What are the three things? If you can only get three things. Now, let's be honest. I know that we should probably say something like, probably my first year of sobriety medal, copy of the Serenity Prayer, and then a picture of my niece, AirPods, iPods, and potentially one of those O'Carroll's chicken packets. I'm addicted to them.
They're unbelievable.
They are the great. If, and this isn't a subtle, humble thing. If O'Carroll's are following me or listen to this, those little packets of chicken that you do with the, you can get them either barbecue, sweet chili. They are the nicest things on earth. So yeah, and then my granddad's ashes.
And your ashes, okay.
Oh, my granddad's ashes. Also, why have they given them to me? This is mental. In a Jan sport. Yeah, what would you grab? If you could, only three things.
I have two cats and one of them's a prick, so I'll only take one cat.
That's sort of par for the... That's a good ratio, by the way, when it comes to cats.
It's actually above the bell curve.
Yeah. Guys, I hope you're enjoying the... The Weekly Roast. It's great to be here. And forgive me if I'm being a little bit, how would you describe it? Sort of schoolyard in my relentless pushing back on Michael and not giving him enough space to express himself. I tend to behave, let's be honest, guys, like a cornered rat if I run out of things to say, and I just turn on my nearest and dearest and ridicule them in an effort to suck some humour in the deadened air. Nevertheless, thank you for listening to The Weekly Roast. Guys, if you're enjoying the show, you know what to do. Send me a message on Instagram. I might come across as confident as they come, but I thrive and survive and exist solely on compliments and lifts to the ego. So if you enjoyed today's show, send me a DM on Instagram at Megan Mark. If you enjoy the podcast, my friend, send it, share it to a friend. Also, somebody sent me the funniest video of them listening to the podcast and reacting last week. If you have any of those videos, send them on and I'll share them on my Instagram. And as I say, stay tuned. In the next couple of weeks, there is a news a-coming, okay? You will be glad to hear. Now, onwards, this section, I just have to caveat. This section is the bum section, okay? There are more bums in this section than Skid Row on a sunny day, okay? That's not a go at Skid Row. But, yeah, so this is just shocking. And now, by the way, I'm going to hand over the floor to my side chick, my kick, God, sidekick, Mystery Mick.
Great.
Let's go.
Let's go. Okay, so this is 100% true.
Okay.
This is my first trip to A&E.
So this is something that actually happened to you?
It's actually happened to
me. And let the reader or the listener know, I don't know what this is. No. You texted me this morning and I said, save it for the show. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I was 10 years old.
Good stuff.
I was going to Euro Disney with my family.
Good stuff.
As any first time Parisian tourist will do, I bought an ornament of the Eiffel Tower.
Okay.
About 8 or 9 inches tall.
Oh, and no.
The jet setter
at
that
10.
The jet setter that I was, I went straight from Euro Disney back to my holiday home, a mobile home in Wicklow.
Okay.
And I'm sure you're not familiar with this, but in the furniture in mobile homes is often built into the walls.
What do you mean I'm not, why would I not be familiar?
You know, I'd say you're more the yacht type, you know, I'm a caravan and core town man.
Well, damn, you're right. Go on.
So anyway, I'm climbing around the walls and my younger cousin is playing with this ornament of the Eiffel Tower. He's only about 4 or 5. No understanding of where you should or shouldn't place sharp objects of that nature. My lovely mother comes in and she says, Michael, get down. I jump down.
No. No, you didn't.
I land on the ornament. I was impaled by an ornament of the Eiffel Tower at 9 years of age.
Oh, mon Dieu. Mais no. No. C'est pas vrai.
It literally, no word of a lie, tore me a new one.
Oh.
Multiple organ damage.
Actually up your arse.
Like literally
up
my arse.
Up your ass.
Created a new hole. Multiple organs damaged. Emergency surgery, a week in hospital.
Is this true?
This is
hand on your heart. 100%. You were impaled. I pray my dick get bigger than the Eiffel Tower so I can fuck the world for 72 hours. Damn, I feel amazing.
I have a credit on that song.
You got bummed by the Eiffel Tower at the age. I always wondered why you love French. I always wondered why you wore those black and white striped jumpers and you came into the studio with a rung of onions and the baguette under your arm. This is, as you might say, my boy, mon garçon, mon fils, c'est dérangement, mais non, c'est pas vrai. An Eiffel Tower ornament. Firstly, what sort of a pretentious little precocious swine buys it? If I,
Kettle Black. Don't even start calling me pretentious.
Don't be bringing up kettles into this, or the blacks, I'll have you know. You know, don't be going problematic just to worm your way out of a little French paradox. Holy God. So wait, let's stop the comedy for a second, will we?
Let's
just gently talk about things going into yours. You jump down onto the arch. Or sorry,
you're sitting up on like the window ledge.
In the caravan.
In the caravan.
Looking at what? Brad Pitt, method act for snatch. So you're up looking out the window of the caravan at the bonfire. And my dad eating. So you were looking out the window of the caravan at your dad eating beans and a wife beater. With grizzly hair on his chest. I don't know. This is a tattoo of an anchor on his upper arm. Men laughing at things. Go on. Sorry. You are up. You're little.
Sitting on the ledge.
Okay.
My mother comes in. She says, Michael, get down. Without thinking, I just say, yes, mammy. And I jump down.
But sorry, what are you? A fucking, like, You're like my dog with worms. Who jumps down on the floor arse first? Like,
oh, my arse was like perched up on the top of the couch. So like,
yeah, but you're not like a Bishop Brennan with the arse out. And then, okay, so go on. So the arse is perched on the couch. Go on.
Arse is perched on the couch. I hop out to like place my bottom untouched by the Eiffel Tower onto the lower part of the couch. I was met with the Eiffel Tower.
Okay, and so what happens then? Genuinely?
Genuinely, like catastrophic injury. It looked like I was going to have like a colostomy bag. Like I was in hospital for a week. I was out of school for months.
What?
Like so bad.
How has this never come up in conversation?
Like, what are you going to say? Hi, I'm Michael. Like, put national monuments up my... Yeah.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus, don't go to O'Connell Street anytime soon.
I obviously got a lot of stick at the time.
A stick as well? You get a fucking golf club up there now at this stage, I'd say. You get a 3-wood. No bother. Okay. Yeah. Let's get it. Good stuff. I am flabbergasted. And let's get into it. Jesus, mon Dieu, on y va.
As soon as I saw you were doing an A&E topic, I knew you were going to get so many bum-related questions. But mine is a bum one. So a man came into our A&E hospital, our A&E department in a hospital in the UK with a World War II bomb stuck up his bum. He said he'd been out walking, he was naked, and he fell, and just wrong place, wrong time, this bomb accidentally ended up right up his bumhole. And lodged itself in there. Major panic when everyone discovered that the bomb had never exploded. So this poor man absolutely lost his shit at the time, because not only had he come into A&E with a bomb up his bum, this could have gone off at any moment. So the bomb squad had to come, the police had to come, they had to close down and cordon off the hospital, which then attracted media. And they had to safely remove this bomb and then dispose of it. I have no idea where it eventually ended up, but they had to take the bomb away under like proper precautions, get it exploded or get it detonated. And this poor man had to leave the hospital with the media standing outside.
That is as pretty much as bad as a wank can go. Like, it doesn't get. National media. That's your worst nightmare.
Then I'd want the thing to go off.
Like, yeah. Get
at least then it's a good ending to the story. Like, instead you're just a pervert who puts...
Suicide bummer. You don't hear about those in Al-Qaeda, do you? It's a new wing, actually, that they're focusing on. It's called the Suicide Bummers, where... Like, this is definitely not what the Germans had in mind.
No.
I highly suspect he didn't think, I wonder, will a guy in Croydon shove this up his Swiss? This is absolutely insane. I love the way, like, the fact that the doctor's like, you know, well, unfortunately, the bomb hadn't gone off. Well, fortunately, like, I mean, it's all just, he comes across, okay, so you're out walking, okay? And then, like, think about the things that had to align here. You have to be, A, lucky enough to come across a bomb, but also be the type of person that likes putting things in your bum. Like, for those two things, for those two roads to intersect at the same time, that is like a higher power mountain. That is absolutely bananas. So he's just out walking the hills of, he's up in Hampstead Heath or somewhere, and yeah, what's that there amongst the hedges? That looks a bit green and shiny. What is, oh, it's not a, what is it? Oh, it's just a bomb. Right, okay, I have two options. I could call that, say it, see it, sort it. I could call the number and say, I've discovered a bomb. I could shove it up my Swiss. He looks over his left shoulder, looks over his right shoulder. My phone's on low enough battery. I've got like 20%. I want to play some games in the tube. I'll shove it up my Swiss. How far up the Swiss did it get before you go, I'm going to have to go to hospital here? I've lost control of the bomb that's in my ass. How do you even, literally, are you calling a bomb scare? No, it's a bum scare. I've got the bomb in my bum and I need my mum. Good luck. I'm about to... No.
Hi, Mark. Love the show. I am an emergency department receptionist, and the amount of people who come in with stuff shoved up their arses is just unreal. One very, very busy Saturday night, a youngish guy came in with a carrot stuck up his hole. It was so busy, he sat on one arse cheek for 9 hours waiting to see the doctor. Unfortunately, it was too far up there and he had to go and have it surgically removed. don't stick carrots up your hole, people.
I mean, yeah, good advice. But like, she's like, oh, and obviously, like, you know, he had to get it surgically removed. Like, what was the alternative? Tell him to wait for like the 24th of December. Just get down on all fours and wait by the fireplace. Hoping Santa is extra fucking hungry when he comes in. Hoping Santa might all of a sudden have taken a turn for the derangement and wants to chew a carrot. He's that ravenous that he's willing to go, he's willing to bypass your arse with his mouth in order to get a carrot out of it. Like, not even Sophie Morris is that interested in her five a day. Do you know what I mean? Eating a carrot out of somebody, that is, the happy pair lads wouldn't go for a carrot out of somebody's arse. Do you know what I mean? The happy pair lads, I mean, obviously sounds better than whatever, I don't know, the Bum Bum Carrot Brothers. That was the alternative name they were going to go for. Do you know what I mean? It's completely insane. I love the way, this for me sounds exactly like a jocks drinking game. Lads, will we do the 12 pubs and the loser has to fully like sit on a carrot? And then it's like, yeah, but what's the game here, lads? This is just unusual, isn't it? You know? And then Oisin lost on Baggot Street, so we had to... Yeah, good. He's on the way to hospital now. So, mental. Absolutely mental. Let's just go. There's definitely going to be more bum stuff. So on we go. We are wading through the treacle. That is just a series of asses. Okay, let's go. More bums.
I worked in A&E where there was... a man in his 60s came into us, basically saying that he had a mandarin stuck up his bottom. His excuse for how it got up there was that he was naked outside in his back garden. Now, it was a hot country, there were fruit trees at the back. It's plausible that he had fruit trees at the back of his garden. And he was picking fruit and he slipped and the mandarin just went right up his backside and he just couldn't get it out. So he, came to Amy to get the mandarin removed. Poor guy. The only thing is, he had come into us like not long before that with a different piece of fruit up his bottom. I don't know what kind of like fruit trees he's got, what kind of a back garden he's got, but it's dangerous. So dangerous. The poor guy. I don't know what it is. Men.
I think that was the deleted scene from The Godfather. They were going to run with Don Corleone in the orange grove at the end. But he slips and slides and ends up with an easy peeler up his Sicilian hole. This, the horse's head in the bed. Don Corleone just trying to get an easy peeler out of... Oh, fuck, I should have gone for Seedless. It's an interesting accent you got there, Don Corleone. Do you know what I mean? Like, that is... Just
the idea of slipping on it, though. Like, it's, you know, if you tell me it's something that might get up.
All right, French fucking Frank over here. So the idea of slipping on an orange, that's beyond the reaches of your comprehension. But essentially absorbing the Eiffel Tower at the age of Dees is not too much for you to understand. This is, you don't have a leg to stand on. You can't stand. You're sitting on three pillows. You go through a vat of Vaseline every time you get the Lewis. You are goose, my boy. But like, yeah, like the slipping on the arch. Go to a different A&E. Go to a different hospital. Last week it was a banana. This, the man from Del Monte, like, you know, the fruits, not the hat. Let's go.
Yes, I was working in a hospital in Dublin and a woman presented to the hospital with a dildo stuck up her fallujah. And it was stuck so high she couldn't get it down again. So I was asked to x-ray her to see exactly how far up it was. And when I put my hands on her tummy to position her for the x-ray, the dildo was still buzzing.
Just Well, look, it's a nice change from the Irises, I suppose.
Yeah, just absolutely. A welcome change.
Fallujah.
City in Iraq.
Is it?
It is.
Jeez, what's their national monument?
Oh, God.
A fist with five fingers. You come back limping for months on end. On end. Around the world in 80 ways. You don't see enough influencers promoting dildos, I feel.
No.
You know, you don't see the Suzanne Jacksons of this world or the Trish's transfer. You imagine, Trish, by the way, absolute legend. As soon as we do a celebrity series on the roast, we should get Trisha Lewis on. Yeah, I'd love to see Trish come on. I know, I'm okay. I'm never going to be able to. She's Limerick. She's from the Limerick sort of border with Cork. But I would love to see Trisha Lewis come on and sort of try to flog a dildo in her, you know, dulcet sort of Limerick. I am the lad that do announce that I am walking with a new brand. I have been a fan of them for ages. There is a vegan dildo company from Sony Bata. You must be gentle with the Fallujah. And the double Dublin Dynamite is the only heavenly answer. I want you to believe it. I want your legs to quiver with the desire of your little rubber friend. Do not leave the battery on. You do not switch off the lights. Keep your arm away from the socket because it can get the shock from the moisture of the juices. Thank you, Trish. Dulcet, Limerick tones from Trish there.
You actually caught me off guard with that one.
Irish dildo companies, that'd be such a real Stony Batter Irish dildo, the vegan Irish dildo company, and the dildos would be done like the pool bag towers or a pint of Guinness, do you know what I mean? And people would be wandering around South William Street with them leaning out of their tote bags. And then if you comment on the dildo, you're the problem. Yeah, that's just my little pool bag tower power, do you know what I mean? Yeah, I do know, Manuel, but like, relax with the Eiffel. Anyway, yeah, Fallujah, I don't know. Yeah, it happens.
Amazing.
It happens. Surely dildos are, you know, there must be like, there should be something at the end of them to prevent people from absorbing the dildo. Like a little ring pull.
A little ring pull. You often see the two testes just sitting off the bottom of them.
Often?
Often.
I'm seeing a whole different side to you today, Mark, if you'll allow the pun.
Break, will you?
Sorry, the fucking, the dildo connoisseur over here. Like dildo Baggins, do you know what I mean? What the hell is going on here? So you're sitting on French towers. Now you're like, well, obviously it depends on the ratio of the dildo. You know, most of the German-made ones, they'll have the two testicles on the left and the right side of it. But then once they move there, let's just go. On y va, okay?
Friend's boyfriend is a A&E consultant and gave us lots of entertaining stories over the years. One of which was having to remove a bottle of L'Oreal Elvive conditioner from someone's arsehole, which we all thought was very interesting and discussed at length the difference between using an Elvive shampoo bottle versus conditioner. And the conditioner made sense by the nature of the shape of it. And yes, managed to get the entire bottle actually up his arsehole. Why would people do this? Why?
You can't blame people for wanting to put hair products up their arse. It's just the way that they're conditioned. So, no worries about that one. Just like a bit of an unbelievable gag there. Write that one down. You don't see that in the L'Oreal ads.
No.
You don't see Andy McDowell. Or Diane Keaton, whoever, I don't know, who the fuck promotes these things. Amelia Doldenberg, or whatever her name is, I never get it right. Chicken shop date. You don't see people going, yeah, I take the bottle with me anywhere, you know, you can shove it up your ass. Like, it's just...
Just buy a dildo. Why?
Oh, here we go. He's fucking... He's always on the sale, this guy. Are you and Trish side hustling together with some sort of dildo startup? Hard up.
End of the year, Callow are going to do some pill bag tower dildos. It's going to be a thing.
Oh my God. Callow's his business, by the way, guys. Look up Callow if you want to support Mystery Mick. Vegan handbag company. That's a true thing as well. They don't do dildos yet. Yeah, look, I don't have anything on this. What do you say? People putting shampoo bottles up their anus. Mental. Of course it's mental. Why do people do this? I don't know. I don't know. L'Oreal doesn't get doesn't sting in the eyes. Cool, it'll sting him in the arse because the bottle is plastic. It's, I don't know. Let's just, I'm losing the will to live. Is this, can we, can we just play the music? Oh, guys, I hope you are enjoying the Weekly Roast. This is, yeah, it's derangement is the only way to describe it. I thank you for persevering and staying with us this far. I can assure you, if you're new to the show, that not every week do we devolve into the depths of sort of, I suppose, just human despair that is bum-related content. Nevertheless, thank you for joining us today. I hope you're enjoying it. Wherever you are, whoever you're there with, if you're out for a walk by yourself, if you're in the car, if you're on the train to work, I hope you're doing okay and you're having an all right time at the moment. And if you are not, hang in there. This too shall pass. Final section. I'm here with Mystery Mick. We're about to get into it. If you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just click follow on the podcast. It'll be sent to you then every single week. You won't miss an episode. Follow me on Instagram at Megan Mark. Let me know what you'd like roasted next. I love hearing from you. Let me know what you thought of today's show. Send me a message. Okay, are you ready? I think we should do it. And there's a big announcement coming in the next 2 weeks. Let's get into it. Okay, let's go.
So I was in A&E during the summer and I was sitting there waiting and this guy who was looking a little bit worse for wear from the night before sat down beside me and I had a big 2 litre bottle of water and how it started was he asked me for a sop of my water and I was like, okay. And then he started asking me why I was there and he said, I'm here waiting for stitches in my hand. I was brought here by the guards last night and I was like, oh, okay. And then he proceeded to ask me, could he use my phone? To ring someone that he was on a first date with a girl from Tinder the night before and when her dad came to collect her from the date he got in a fight with the dad and pulled his fist through the window of the dad's car and was arrested and was brought then by the guards to A&E to get stitches in his hand. So he asked me, could he use my phone to ring the girl to ask if she would still like to go on a second date? She didn't answer.
Good stuff.
I'm not surprised she didn't answer.
To say she dodged more than a bullet there. Hello? Hiya, can I just borrow your... Sorry, do you mind if I just borrow your phone real quick? Sorry, is there an emergency? Yeah, well, I need to get on to FaceTime. To FaceTime a girl off your Facebook account so she won't know it's me because in that way there's a chance that she'll answer and then I'm going to start the negotiation process to get a second date. Why is your hand soaked in blood? Oh, because I punched a hole in her dad's Vectra. Completely insane. Also, is it not like very hard to punch a hole in a car window?
Extremely.
How, are you an aggressive guy?
Yes, big time. I will be at the end of this show.
After squatting on a parking cone. You tend to take your rage out. The anal dipper, as they call you. That is just bananas. People are insane. People are genuinely insane.
I need her to know that I'm not insane. Give me your phone there, quickly. Hello? Susan, it's Keith here, the guy from Pygmalion. Yeah, forget the police, they're all here. Ignore the noise of the chopper overhead. Are you free on Thursday? I have 2 tickets to picture
this. No, absolutely not. Unequivocally no. Nothing to do with the punching. To do with the tunes. Brilliant. No, let's go. This is just...
So I'm not an A&E nurse, but I'm a theatre nurse. And I have, over the years, encountered some wild and wonderful reasons for why people present to hospital with problems. Years ago... Like I'm talking maybe 10, 15 years ago, back when there were no laptops and we had the old style computers and monitors and hard drives. This guy presented twice to one of the consultant urologists with a large wire up his penis.
Oh.
And, you know, wasn't really capable of giving a very good excuse. When he came back the second time, the consultant urologist, she got quite cross with him and said, you know, we don't have time to be wasting our hours on these sort of things. That was him. Another person presented with a full intact brandy glass in their rectum. Again, find a reason for this. But more recently, a very, very genuine gentleman was having a barbecue with his children, dropped his wine glass. He was in his bare feet and couldn't stop himself stepping. He'd had a couple of glasses of wine himself, and he presented into the theatre with the full stalk of the wine glass up his foot, and sticking out at the base of his foot was the base of the wine glass.
Oh, that's so hard to listen
to. So grim. It's actually so grim.
You presented to the emergency room with a stalk on you before, didn't you? Your mum and dad had just been to Pisa for the weekend and they brought you back a little statue. The standing on the wine glass is actually the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
Okay. The phone, firstly, a few things here.
It was back 10 years ago before there were laptops.
Where are you from? Siberia? Laptops have been around for like 20 years at least. Secondly,
the urologist said to him, you know, this, we don't have time for this.
I'm not here for a moral evaluation, doc. Do you know what I mean? I'm here for you to get the USB out of my USD. Like, I'm not looking for any form of fibre, you know, character, evaluation. You've used that word already, Mark. Nevertheless, yeah, okay. A wire hanging out the willy is the worst thing ever. And it brings you back to my days of being on the schoolyard in St. Bridget's, Cabinteely. And one of the insults that did the rounds, aside from, no, was liar, liar, pants on fire, willy's as long as a telephone wire.
I've never heard that.
And I remember being like, why is that an insult, lads? Don't even worry about it. You never heard that?
No.
Did you not have liar, liar, pants on fire?
We just cut it there. We didn't go for
it. Cut it there. Well, evidently, like, you don't have a foreskin, so. Yeah, mental. And then, the brandy glass up the ass.
I actually think it's impressive that it's intact.
The glass?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, brandy glass is real fine glass, maybe a bit of crystal. Like, that's...
That's just... I do find it mental. Oh, no, I can't even... Let's go. I'm actually... Okay, there's no more... Is there any more bum stuff? No, there's not. Okay, guys, we're finally now finished with the bum stuff. We're arriving at the end of the show. This is great. We've got one. It's unrelated to the anus. It is a different story entirely. Oh, thank you for sticking with us. Let's play the last one and let's all go on our merry way. And next week, we're going to have a lot more wholesome content without the hole. Let's go.
Okay, so it's early afternoon and I'm in bed with my boyfriend and we are having sex.
Brilliant.
And all of a sudden somebody bursts through the door, and at that point we are doggy style. Oh. And my shoulders are actually down touching the bed.
Sorry?
So when I hear the door open, I turn so quickly, moving my head and pushing into my shoulder.
Oh.
Without getting up, that I popped my shoulder socket. So then from there, I end up in the car going to A&E with my boyfriend's dad. And on the way, he turns to me and says, I hope he's not rough with you. And at that stage, I just wanted to be dead with embarrassment and pain and everything that was going on. And then we get into A&E. I'm asked, obviously, by the doctor what happened, and I just say I was lying on the couch and I popped it out by turning on it. So then when they see that I was naked when it happened, they asked me again, because I couldn't get dressed, I couldn't wear a bra, obviously. I had a t-shirt and a jumper in one arm and over the head. So anyway, they obviously give me some laughing gas or whatever and pop it back in. And off I go home,
high as a kite, back to their house, and in chatting to everyone, and it was never actually spoken about ever again. But to this day, it's just the most cringeworthy thing probably that has ever happened.
Oh, well, that's the Irish way. Don't talk about it. And things will invariably get worse, and we won't talk about that either. And in years to come, we'll almost talk about it, but we still won't talk about it, and we'll die laden with unspoken and unaddressed trauma.
The right way to do things.
Only in Ireland. But, okay, this is brilliant. Firstly, let's have a shout out to the father-in-law.
Yeah.
I know it's awkward, but he was trying. I know.
Don't say any. No, no, no. Do not say a thing in that car.
Really?
No. Nothing you could say could improve that situation.
Okay, because producer Carl is also shaking his head at me to suggest. Okay, so I'm outnumbered here. No, I think deaf. No. I think it's actually quite sweet. I wouldn't put it on a Vodafone ad. Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't have that lad who FaceTime his family in Australia every year. Well, wouldn't you just fly home with this lad? It's been about 7 years, and your man with the prosthetic schnoz is there FaceTiming them every single fly home. Good God! Like, anyway. I think it's nice by the dad. I'm on the dad. That is a stoic Irish man who was doing his best. He's looking in the rearview mirror, trying to upskirt. No, he's not. Man. But he's trying to look at he's in the mirror and he's going, what can I say that's quick, awkward, but still shows that. Okay, I'm sticking to my guns. I respect him. Now, shoulders touching the bed in doggy style. That seems quite low.
Like that's advanced right there. That's a bit.
I'm trying to think about. Hold on. If where would the head be if the shoulders are down that low?
The head's chewing a pillow, like it's they're going
chewing through. A pillow. All right, Ron Jeremy, the sex god. All right, the Slayer, Buffy the Minslayer. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, just chewing a pillow, like.
Poleaxe and fucking national monuments. Don't go to Washington anytime soon. Watch out, Washington. I don't know. Yeah. Look, dislocating your shoulders during sex. Stranger things have happened. And I've heard, remember that urban myth growing up was like, Mark, have you ever had sex with anybody? No, of course not. I'm 16, but I'm going to lie and say I did on holidays.
Yeah, man, I've hammered so many birds. Like,
and I'd be going, yeah, just watch out. Make sure they don't sneeze. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It was like, if they sneeze, you'll sit in the Eiffel Tower. There we go, that's it. Goodbye. Thank you so much for listening to The Weekly Roast, guys. If you've made it this far, you are made of sterner stuff than I am, because, good God, that was eye-opening, arse-opening, and all of the rest. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really appreciate it. Yeah, if you enjoy the show, let me know. Shoot me a DM on Instagram at MeganMark. And as I say, stay tuned over the next couple of weeks. There is some very exciting news coming, and I will truly be delighted to share it with you. It's been a long time in the works. So, yeah, I hope you're doing well. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for all the support with the show. We are growing and growing and growing, and I am beyond grateful. Have a great bank holiday, and I will see you on the other side. All the best, my friends. Take care.
Mark Megan's Weekly Roast. Proudly supported by Cialis for Men. Erectile dysfunction? It's nothing to be ashamed of. Have a quick, discreet chat with your pharmacist about Cialis for Men. 10 milligram film-coated tablets, which contains tadalafil. Now available without prescription in pharmacies nationwide. Find out more at www.cialisformen.ie. To be taken at least 30 minutes prior to anticipated sexual activity. Always read the label.